Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another wonderful day living as a Christian. It's a good day to be alive and to be part of God's wonderful family. You may be wondering what all the fuss is about being a Christian, because for some, Christianity is just, well, I guess I'll just say it, it's just boring. But that's not the Christian walk that I'm talking about. You see, if you are a blood-bought, Jesus Christ-following son or a daughter of the living God, then there's some amazing things about you. First, you'll live forever. Well, we talked about that last week. And next, in the eyes of God, you are completely forgiven. And we talked about that last week. And those are two important things. And finally, as a child of the living God, you have the Holy Spirit of God oozing through your spirit and your soul. There is nothing at all boring about that kind of Christian life. So, are you a blood-bought, Jesus-following son or daughter of the living God? Well, if so, today's message is for you. Now, let's get into our study for the day. First, go with me to something the Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, he wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, let me explain that. If you are in Christ, that means you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God. And because of that, you are brand new. The old is gone. Let me say that again. The old is gone and everything is new. If you're the absolute same now as you were before, then you need to get a checkup, because you need to make sure, because when you're in Christ, you're going to be different. The things that tempted you once before, you're going to have strength to overcome now. So you will be brand new if you're born again. The old things have passed away. We need to keep that in mind. But now, with that as our foundation, when you and I were placed in Christ, then we became a member of God's body of Christ, which is the church. And the local church is the hope of the world. Let me say it again. The local church is the hope of the world. I know the church has been under attack for the last few years, and that's been going on for 2,000 years. But let me say, the church has never been defeated, and it has never been diminished. Let me show you why. Jesus and his disciples were walking through a very pagan city, and he challenged his disciples by saying, "Who do men say that I am?" Then he made it personal, and he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now listen closely to what Jesus said to Peter, and I'll paraphrase. He says, "Only God the Father can show you that. So Peter, it's on that rock that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it or overcome it." So nothing will ever defeat or diminish the church. Hallelujah. As Bill Gaither wrote in a wonderful song years ago, "The church triumphant is alive and well." Now, listen, if you're a Christ-following son or daughter of the living God, then you are part of that undefeatable, living, breathing church which will stand tall when everything else falls apart. And that church has the ability to address any human need, regardless of the depths of human suffering. The love of Jesus Christ through the church has the potential to reach and change anyone, anywhere, anytime. If you're in Christ, you're part of that church. The potential of the local church is limitless. That's why the local church is the hope of the world. Some people say, even Christians today, who have bought into the cultural rubbish, and they think that the church is somehow less than it used to be. Well, in your questioning the power of the church, then let me address some of those questions that you may have. And we're going to go over to the book of Ephesians and let Paul address them as he speaks to his church there. Ephesus was another very, very pagan city. Yet Paul started a powerful, people-reaching, soul-changing church in Ephesus. And he wrote some things to that church to encourage them. And let me read that to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, let's unpack that. First of all, the Apostle Paul said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, I believe that godly wisdom and a God-given revelation of himself is all the church needs to survive and thrive. Let me make this clear. One man once said that the most important thing about you is what you think of God. If you believe God is an all-powerful, all-knowing being, and he will use his power and his wisdom to sustain his church, which you're part of, then you will be unstoppable. But if you've bought into the cultural rhetoric that God is somehow a myth, or he's some grandfather figure sitting on a cloud throwing out blessings on everybody, then your Christian walk will be weak. So I believe God will give his wisdom and the revelation of himself to the church to change our world. Next, the Apostle Paul said the hope of his calling. Well, that can be multifaceted, but I believe the one calling is that I believe every one of us has the same calling, and that is to change our world through the love of Jesus Christ. You and I, who are part of the church, have the power to do that. But you may argue with me and say, I don't have that power. Well, yes, you do. Paul prayed that the church would have their eyes opened and their minds illuminated to the exceedingly greatness of his power towards those who believe. Our eyes needs to be opened and our mind illuminated to the power that's available to those in the church. So, do you believe in Jesus? Are you a Christ-following son or daughter of the living God? If so, God wants you to know that his exceedingly great power is available. And that power, according to Paul, is strong enough to raise Jesus from the dead. We know the story. So if God's power is strong enough to raise the dead, it's strong enough to change a life, and yours included. No wonder that the local church is the hope of the world. Now, there's some other things that we want to look at. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Listen to what Paul wrote. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. If you are a blood-bought, Christ-following son or daughter of the living God, then you are completely sealed until the day of the Lord's return. And Jesus said, no one will be able to take you out of the Father's hand. So we are sealed and perfectly saved by the mighty hands of God. But you might be asking, what about the rest of God's power? What can he do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. That's what God can do. And simply stated, God is able to do anything. He can change any life. He can change any town. He can revolutionize countries. He can remove mountains. He can build lasting bridges. He can empower every Christian to change the world that they live in, including you and including me. But according to Paul, God will only do that for those who are in Christ. So, do you believe? Are you a Christ-following, born-again son or daughter of the living God? If so, you're part of a church that is the hope of the world. With that in mind, I would like to read Paul's final words. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We are part of God's church triumphant, which is alive and well, and God will empower, enable, and direct his church. We should lift our hands in praise. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for the knowledge of knowing you and understanding that the love of Jesus Christ through us, your church, can change the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.